Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners. Welcome to another edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman with NFLExporter.com. And you know the routine by now. We're here each and every Monday broadcasting live from Dave and Buster's in Los Angeles, California. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football. And this is always the biggest game of the week. That is why the show name is the Extra Points, because on Monday Night Football, you are usually in need of the extra points to win your weekly matchup, or you don't need the extra points from somebody that you're facing this weekend. So we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, obviously the likes of Shady McCoy, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, Brandon LaFell, LeGarrette Blount, just to name a few, are certainly going to have their say-so in a lot of games that are going to be won and lost tonight. I'm in that boat as well in two of my leagues, actually in all three of my leagues. There's some implications in this game tonight. And so, like everybody else, whether you're a Bills or Patriots fan, if you have a fantasy player in this one, then you certainly are rooting for that player. Everybody has their own agenda when it comes to these guys performing. Make sure that you get with us on Twitter. Just simply follow us at NFL Exporter. Make sure you send a friend request to facebook.com/NFL Exporter. And then our home, the hub of the for the website, the official website, I should say, is NFLExporter.com. The spelling for all the above is NFLExporter. And then the call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. I'll be with you for the next hour or so, leading right up to kickoff of the Bills and Patriots football game. Real quick, before we hop into a quick break and then come back and get into our show, let's take a look at your top 10 fantasy performers from week 11 around the NFL. It was Thomas Rawls, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. And I tell you, this year has been unbelievable the way that these backup running backs come in and they're producing at a higher level than even the starters. I mean, I find it hard to imagine that Marshawn Lynch would have ran for 209 yards and a touchdown yesterday against the 49ers. I mean, I think we all love that matchup. You know, maybe 120 yards or so were in the cards. But Thomas Rawls, this is the second time this year that he's really just went off. He had a game earlier in the year against Cincinnati where Lynch set out, where he had 169 rushing yards in a touchdown. And so we'll certainly go in depth into the big day that he had. Coming in number two, it was Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers. He just continues to play at an MVP level, was flawless yesterday with 246 yards, five TD passes, zero interceptions, and the wipeout of the Washington Redskins. And then how ironic is it? Jameis Winston, the rookie from Florida State, he's certainly looking much, much better, getting a grasp of the NFL. I know when the year started off, especially with that head-to-head matchup against Marcus Mariota, the way that Mariota performed with the four TD passes, zero interceptions. Winston had a rough day at the office, but I think if you look at both of those quarterbacks now, you can certainly see why Jameis Winston was taken first overall. He's really playing well, and how coincidental is it? 246 yards, five touchdowns, zero interceptions, the same exact numbers that Cam Newton had. Cam had a little extra money because of his rushing yards, but both Winston and Cam Newton passed for 246 yards, five TDs. That is unbelievable. Number four, a name that we've seen on here a lot last year. We have not seen that much this year. We're talking about Russell Wilson. Tyler Lockett, another one of those going to Thomas Rawls out of the backfield. And so Russell Wilson, big day at the office at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Carson Palmer continues in his winning ways. Another four touchdown performance, another game up over 300 yards. And this guy is just relentless this year. Got out to a bad start in the first quarter with a couple interceptions, but from there found his groove and he never looked back. And he's finding receivers all over the football field. Carson Palmer, one of the best late-round value or waiver wire pickups that you could have found in fantasy football this year. How about Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? You know, I touched on him last week on the NFL Exporter website about a guy who was certainly going to have an impact on your fantasy matchup this week. And certainly, I mean, 235 rushing yards. Are you kidding? the Eagles had one of the better running rush defenses in the NFL coming into this week. And with the game being at home and, you know, Jameis Winston, that quarterback, Mark Sanchez in for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, you certainly anticipated this being kind of a low scoring slugfest type game. You know, I thought like 17-13, but the Bucs completely wiped out Philadelphia, and Martin looked absolutely great. Certainly is a guy who was one of the top mid-level running backs this year. And with a game like that, his confidence has to be sky high. He had about 3 to 4 games in a row where he did really well. Then he kind of cooled off a bit, but was back in the vengeance, 23 big points. And again, it's a standard scoring. So in your league where there's bonuses and, you know, different points for various things, his point total may have been higher, but just in standard black and white scoring, 23 points for Doug Martin. DeAndre Hopkins had no problem. He actually went out to Revis Island and had a party. Lit him up for 118 yards, 2 TDs. Revis ended up getting a concussion. We don't know how serious it was, but he didn't want any part of DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins simply put on a show, embarrassing Revis. And, man, I tell you, this DeAndre Hopkins, 9 TD receptions this year. Man, he has given owners the production that we were looking for. Again, another guy who we never questioned his talent. You know, I think the 2 question marks you had coming into this year, could he handle being the number one receiver with Andre Johnson gone? Could he get that touchdown total up? And he's been able to do both without question. He's going to end the year a top 5 fantasy receiver. How about Mason Crosby at the Green Bay Packers? It seems like we usually get one kicker a week finding his way in here. Last week it was Cairo Santos with 20 points for KC. This week you got Mason Crosby for the Green Bay Packers, 22 big points. You certainly cannot beat that. From the kicker position, certainly a huge bonus, I'm quite sure, for a lot of owners in their fantasy lineups. Had a tough matchup at Minnesota, but along with Aaron Rodgers in that offense, had more than enough opportunity to cash in. Coming in at 9th is Andy Dalton of the Cincinnati Bengals. And you know, this is why Andy Dalton makes owners so upset. You know, last week, very favorable game at home, Monday Night Football against the Houston Texans. And he can't do anything but come out and lay a dud. But then this week at Arizona, when everybody sat him, he's going for 315 yards and 2 TDs. And you find yourself saying, okay, you know, how in the world gauge this guy? And so nice game by Dalton. Really should have had some more money. He's a guy that I'm just going to attribute it to he doesn't have the arm strength. He's constantly, and I posted that on Twitter earlier, you know, ever since A.J. Green and Dalton came into the league, they've been together now for, I believe this is their 5th year, maybe 4th, they came in together as rookies. Andy Dalton has religiously underthrown A.J. Green and other receivers, but most notably A.J. Green. He's constantly underthrowing A.J. Green on the deep ball. You know, A.J. always, even on the ones that A.J. catches, he's always got to slow down. He's never catching it in stride. You know, he's got to slow down to catch it, you know, reach behind him. And then he's got to make his move and continue on. If Andy Dalton could simply put the football out in front of A.J. Green, they likely win that game yesterday or at least make it tough on Arizona. A.J. Green was open, had a couple steps on a defender late in the game, and Andy Dalton just underthrew it. But nevertheless, 315, 2 TDs for anyone who was bold enough, I guess. That matchup was certainly not to his favor. To play him, 21 points were your reward. And then how about Spencer Ware? I tell you, these Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, I was talking to somebody about that. I mean, whoever you plug in for Kansas City and Andy Reid in general, they just produce, you know. I mean, Jamal Charles, Mal Davis, Sharkhandrick West, you know, he goes out yesterday with a hamstring. Well, bring in Spencer Ware, and he's able to find himself the 96 yards and 2 TDs in about a quarter and a half of football. Absolutely unbelievable. He's certainly a guy who's going to garner some attention on the waiver wire. All right, look, we are getting ready for Monday Night Football. Again, thank you for tuning in to Extra Points. We've got a great show lineup for you today. We're obviously going to recap like we do every Monday. We're going to recap all the action from around the NFL in Week 11. You know, we're going to touch back on the NFL Exporter website to take a look at some of our start and sit did from Week 11. Talk about some players who we thought would impact your lineup. Talk about how some of the top busts in fantasy football fared this week. Did they continue in their ways, or were they able to shrug it off? And then again, we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. Got to shout out everybody here in Los Angeles. I know that a lot of people are on a short week. And so, man, if you're looking for some fun, this is the place to be, the official home for fantasy football in Southern California. Dave and Buster's Westchester is located 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California, 90045. We are getting ready for a big night of fun. We do raffle prizes, contest giveaways. We're about an hour into happy hour. That's from 3:30 to 7 p.m. So we make sure that the night is full of fun, and we've got a great atmosphere. I'm telling you, we got great people, great food. We've got a huge location. There's something for everybody to do. And, man, we get a lot of fantasy football owners down here. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of Patriot and Bills fan in the building. And so, shouting out everybody in L.A. I know that for those who are working, you know, probably getting off work now or in the next hour. So, come on down to Dave and Buster's and enjoy us for a big night of football with Buffalo and New England. Let's run to a quick break. When we come back, we'll hop into the quarterback position to see your studs and duds from week 11. It's the NFL Exporter. You're listening to Extra Points. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this break. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter. Follow us at NFL Exporter. Make sure to join us on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. We're close to 2,000 fantasy football owners over there. You'll absolutely love the page. It's like a huge discussion board and forum with fantasy owners from all over the country. And when it's all said and done, we are certainly looking forward to have a page full of champions. Now let's go ahead and get the show started officially with the quarterback position. Here are your top 10 quarterbacks in fantasy football for week 11. Cam Newton, Carolina Panthers, again, he's just hot right now. And he's got a ton of weapons at his disposal. And I think that's the thing that you like about Cam Newton this year, that you can definitely call him a great quarterback. You know, the quarterback play is great. You know, if you think about Tom Brady, you think about Peyton Manning, you think about Drew Brees, you think about my goodness, this one guy that's escaping me, Aaron Rodgers. You know, if you think about Brady, you think about Rodgers, you think about Brees, you think about Peyton Manning. You know, those four quarterbacks who for so long have been dominating the NFL, you know, they make the receivers. You know, it's not the receivers making them. They make the receivers. I mean, you know, in his career, Tom Brady, the best receiver he's ever had, you know, was Randy Moss for a year or two. You think about Drew Brees. He never had a great receiver in New Orleans. You know, I mean, Marcus Colston was kind of in his prime at one time. You know, you think about Peyton Manning. You know, guys like Marvin Harrison, who's certainly a Hall of Fame caliber player, but Pierre Garçon and Austin Collie. You know, you move over to Denver. You know, guys like Eric Decker. We know that Demaryius Thomas is certainly a polished receiver. And think about Aaron Rodgers, right? Guys like Jordy Nelson and James Jones. You know, Randall Cobb was certainly talented coming out of Kentucky. Point being, when you look at who Cam Newton has at his disposal, you know, it's not Larry Fitzgerald or A.J. Green or, you know, a dominant number one first-round draft pick. You know, Greg Olsen is his best target at wide tight end. But he's got, you know, Philly Brown and Ted Ginn Jr., you know, the rookie Devin Funchess. Jericho Cotri still finds his way on the football field. I forget who the smaller Caucasian wide receiver is, but you don't know these guys. And Cam Newton is out there just darting it, putting it right on these guys' hands. And it's good to see him playing well. He's always a threat to do it on the ground. But yesterday really raised some eyebrows with 5 TD passes, just torched that Redskins secondary. And Cam Newton, he's just a must-start. That's the way it is. You really don't see any game on the schedule that you're worried about sitting him. That certainly has been an issue in the past. He's a guy I'm giving a lot of credit to because coming into this year, his draft stock certainly fell after Calvin Benjamin went down with that injury. You're wondering, aside from Greg Olsen, who in the world is this guy going to throw the football to? And he is getting it done. Jameis Winston, I tell you, that was an impressive performance yesterday at Philadelphia. We know that the Eagles secondary is certainly the liability of that team. But 5 different receivers, I think that is the thing that made it most impressive. The same thing for Cam Newton yesterday. When you can distribute the football like that, that speaks volumes about the accuracy. And all of his throws were inside the red zone. So we know that the coverage is much tighter. There's not a lot of room to work. The windows are much smaller, and he was just threading a needle. I mean, he had a couple of throws near the back of the end zone, you know, a fade route to Mike Evans. He just looked good, and I'm quite sure this is a kid right now who's got Tampa Bay at 5-5. That's a team that is certainly building a lot of confidence, and we certainly expect for him to play well the rest of the season. Like any young quarterback, he'll certainly probably have some games or a game or two here and there, only six left on the regular season schedule, that he may struggle. He may make some mistakes. We've seen it last week against Dallas. But certainly this is a guy with, you know, only two turnovers in his last five games. Four out of his last five, he's not turning the football over. That's winning football. Russell Wilson, you know, I'm not going to get carried away. They played the 49ers at home next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it'll be more to Russell Wilson than we've kind of seen for the majority of the year. It's no knock on Russell, but, again, the talent at wide receiver, he doesn't have anybody that really scares you. You know, Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, Jimmy Graham has not been able to establish himself there, you know, to the point where you see a guy like Tyler Lockett, you know, popping in for a week, getting two touchdowns. So, you know, don't read into to this too much. Don't expect any too many more 253 TD passing days from Russell Wilson. He's always a threat for 260 all-purpose yards and three total TDs. But certainly based on the matchup, you got a demoralized 49ers team coming in there, Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, giving Seattle endless opportunities, and he certainly was able to cash in. Then we talked about Andy Dalton again. Look, we're not going to go in-depth or too much into detail about Dalton. He just was able to have an effective game yesterday. It was really about game flow. You know, I think if you play the Arizona Cardinals, especially in the desert, you know that Carson Palmer and these guys are going to push the football down the field and really look to put some points on the board. And so the game flow was there. He was luckily able not to come away with any turnovers. That always helps his cause. But in general, like I said, his point output could have been much higher if he could just simply lead his receivers. You know, it was about three or four passes that he's underthrowing yesterday to A.J. Green and Marvin Jones. Guys are open, got their defenders beat. Underthrowing the football, but nonetheless, 315, two TDs. Nice way for him to bounce back after a very poor game at home against Houston. Nonetheless, it was in a losing effort. Matthew Stafford, and it was really the rushing touchdown in yards that got him his money yesterday. He finished yesterday with 20 points. You take those 9 points off the board, and he's down to 11. Had 282 yards, didn't throw a touchdown or an interception, but again, 31 rush yards and a rushing TD really helped his stat, his end of the game total jump up from 11 to 20. So don't get too carried away with Matt Stafford when you see that. Really look behind the numbers and understood what happened there. Teddy Bridgewater, same thing. You know, he got forced in the passing yesterday. Minnesota's a team, they don't want to pass the football. You know, they prefer to run, and Mike Zimmer scoffed at it, but it's the truth. You know, Bridgewater, he's a game manager right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's in the second year. They've got a strong running game. They've got a stout defense. You know, the receivers on the outside, not that established outside of Mike Wallace. And so, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, he's a game manager. You know, I think games like yesterday is where you're going to see him push the pace a little more when he has to. It wasn't by choice. You know, he had 296 yards, a TD. You also like Bridgewater because he can get you some yards on the ground. That was good for 19 points. But, you know, a lot of those yards came when the game was well out of reach. And, again, Minnesota got put in a situation where they had to pass. That was certainly not the preference. I would certainly not get too carried away with that output. And I would certainly rank Jameis Winston ahead of Teddy Bridgewater if you're looking for a quarterback to bring in on a bye week or if you need some depth there. Aaron Rodgers, 18 points. 212 yards, two TDs, two-point conversion as well. And, you know, it wasn't a great game, but it certainly wasn't a bad one. Again, no turnovers. That helps out a lot. You know, you figure a couple interceptions. He's down around 14 points, but nonetheless was able to get the job done. Green Bay finally finding some balance on the ground. Rodgers not looking as sharp as you would hope to, but I'm pretty sure he'll find a way to get it back on track before the season is over. Brock Osweiler, 27 passes, 250 yards, two TDs, no interceptions. And that's the clean football that Denver needs to win a game. Look, we know that every game may not be a blowout, but if you think about the games that the Broncos have lost, and particularly that game in Indianapolis, you cut those turnovers down and you're able to win a tough game on the road. So nice job by him. Was able to get Demaryius Thomas in the end zone, do another touchdown pass to Cody Latimer. And, man, I think we'll really see what Brock Osweiler is made out of this week when the New England Patriots come to town. Small body of work, no matter how it works out for this kid, but he seems to be moving in the right direction to take over the reins for the Denver Broncos once Peyton Manning's business is done there. And he had a couple quarterbacks tied with 17 points. Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons, just, you know, again, another game. Can't get over 20 points. Matt Ryan has not scored 20 points since maybe about week three. And it's the turnovers. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I'm really getting mixed feelings on Matt Ryan. You know, I mean, I think every year, you know, we all see and view Matt Ryan as, you know, one of the top 10 to 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's certainly talented. He's got Julio Jones. He's got some signature comeback wins underneath his belt. But at the end of the day, the turnovers, you know, and the inconsistent play is what's really got me right now wondering about Matt Ryan. I mean, we went through the same thing with Matt Ryan last year. You know, got off to a good start. And then maybe after about week four, you know, this guy's going six straight weeks where he can't touch 20 points again. And you certainly love the 280 yards. You love the three TDs. But the three interceptions, especially the one he threw to DeQuell Jackson to tie that football game up, just completely unacceptable. And it's keeping him lingering with the average play. Marcus Mariota, kind of similar situation to Matt Stafford, needed 29 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown to help him get up to 17. If it wasn't for that, then he would have only had 9 points. When you look at your duds from yesterday, we start with Phillip Rivers, and this as the San Diego Chargers, this is just a bad trend that you see with Phillip Rivers. You know, if you've been with me all season, I advised owners beginning the year, because that's what you've seen out of Phillip Rivers last year. It's a proven fact. When Phillip Rivers is playing an offense that cannot move the ball in a defense that is suspect, he'll eat them up all day. And don't get me wrong, like he did out in Green Bay, he'll certainly have a game or two here and there where he plays well when unexpected. But for the most part, for the high majority, Phillip Rivers is a guy who, when it comes to tough matchups, and his Kansas City Chiefs team was perfect. You know, fully healthy now, Dontari Poe back in on the defensive line. Eric Berry's got his feet back underneath him. Tamba Ali is playing much better. And they're very familiar, a division foe, very familiar with Phillip Rivers and what he likes to do. And they came out yesterday and they just stifled him. And they didn't allow the run to go down. And when they get one-dimensional, they're in trouble. Phillip Rivers, 5 points yesterday. I know that had to hurt a lot of owners in their lineup. Another guy that hurt, and I had him in my lineup, is Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders. The 6 points yesterday, 169 yards, no touchdown passes, unacceptable. You know, I mean, I understand that Detroit is playing much better. I understand that the owner of the team had a press conference and, you know, made the announcement that heads were going to roll if they didn't play better. But there's no excuse in the NFL at the quarterback position that you walk away from a game without one touchdown pass. It's unacceptable. And 169 yards is unacceptable. And now you're starting to look at this Oakland Raiders team, and particularly for fantasy football. I mean, Amari Cooper, he's been quiet the last couple weeks. You know, Crabtree not getting it done. You know, you're starting to scratch your head and wonder, you know, what exactly is it that's going on here? You know, Carr, a guy that you felt really good about leaving in your lineup weekly. And, you know, we'll give him a break. He's in his second year. He's a young quarterback. Certainly have been on fire maybe about the last month, you know, five straight games. You know, he had been doing this thing. But that was not the time to drop a six in a matchup that certainly had some favor involved. I'm not surprised at all to see Kirk Cousins on this list with 6 points. I told fantasy owners last week, pump your brakes and get the Redskin players out of your lineup. You know, do not get caught up in the trap. This is not a good team. They cannot run the football. Kirk Cousins is average at best. And playing the New Orleans Saints defense and playing the Carolina Panthers defense, night and day. And so Kirk Cousins, another guy that shows, you know, Stout defense, put him on the bench. He's not going to produce. Jay Cutler and his troubles were certainly attributed to the lack of weapons. Played yesterday without Forte, without Alshon Jeffrey, without Eddie Royal. At that point, you know, you got backups in there. Martellus Bennett, you know, was really the only starter in there. And Denver's defense, which has been steady all year, had no problem locking those guys down. Jay Cutler, 6 points. Pretty sure a lot of people, 8 points. A lot of people probably smart enough with those, with all those factors included, not to have him in their lineups. Couple guys, average, you know, not bad. You're talking about Mark Sanchez, and he was bad. Well, matter of fact, you know what? I apologize. I'm skipping over one person. Blake Bortles. He had a very poor game, only 9 points. Again, very favorable matchup. Now, weather certainly factored into that one, but just didn't play well. Didn't play well. You know, we were wondering about Allen Hurns, who only had 19 receiving yards, but just not a good game. And I'm really starting to, again, shy away from these Thursday night football games. They just do not pan out in the long run. We certainly expect for Bortles to rebound with the woeful Chargers coming in this upcoming week. You know, now we're over to Mark Sanchez, and, you know, 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's who Mark Sanchez is. You know, I certainly didn't recommend him to anybody in fantasy. I mean, look, you know what you're going to get. You know, Mark Sanchez does not play clean football. He just care what he did last year and, you know, what the hopes or the prospects were in Philadelphia. This guy is not going to be somebody that you can trust. I mean, against the Saints, if Philadelphia has already played them, you know, maybe only 2 or 3 other defenses that are just that horrible. So Mark Sanchez showed you right off the rip, he's not a guy that you can trust. Those 3 turnovers, costly. Alex Smith, and look, 253 passing yards, you know, about a good 30 yards on the ground. It's just a guy that, you know, the touchdown passes is such a low capacity, and it limits him. I mean, you love the fact that right now he's about 300 passes since his last interception. So like some of these other quarterbacks, he's not going to lose you points. But at the same token, the low percentage of touchdown passes really, really hurts him and keeps him out of most people's starting lineups. If you knew he was going to throw a couple TD passes, this would be a must-start guy weekly. No kidding. I mean, you don't worry about the 200-plus yards, and he certainly is going to tuck that football and pick you up a nice 20 to 30 yards on the ground. But, you know, Travis Kelce dropped a touchdown yesterday. Jeremy Maclin got tackled at the goal line on a couple passes. And, you know, that is really what kept Alex Smith at 13 points. Tony Romo in his debut certainly made a couple mistakes that was expected. 13 points, unacceptable regardless. You got to find a way to play clean football, Tony. I mean, that would have bumped him up to 17 points. Again, we understand that Russ, this was his first game since week 2 with some real action. But in particular, the second interception wasn't called for. The first one, him and Dez were not on the same page. Blitz was coming. Romo expecting Dez to break off that route, do a comeback route. Dez ran the slant and went right into the defensive back's hands. The other one, though, was horrible. Romo just trying to avoid a sack, you know, try to jump up and throw it over the tall defensive lineman, and it just oversailed, sailed over the head of his intended target right into a Miami Dolphins player's hand. Man, he's risky. He's got Carolina next on the menu. And then Ryan Tannehill continues to dwell in mediocrity. 14 points, 188 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Not going to get the job done. I hope owners have learned their lesson by now. A guy, again, who, unless the matchup is extremely favorable, or in his case, unfavorable. That seems like how it is for Tannehill. When the matchup is there, he doesn't perform. But when a matchup is extremely tough, he finds his way to a productive day. So that is a trend that you certainly want to keep abreast of. All right, look, we're going to run to another quick break. When we come back, we'll hop over to the running back position. You're listening to Extra Points live from Dave and Buster's in Los Angeles, California. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, everyone. Thank you for returning to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. As always, I'm your host, NFL exporter Lance Goodman. Let's hop back into the show. Don't forget to call in number 626-213-5762. You're a top running back. We touched on when we started the show with our top 10, Thomas Rawls, and he was impressive. Just running over San Francisco. Hard to believe that their run defense has gotten that bad, but it has. This guy racked up 209 rushing yards on the ground on 30 carries and a TD. Also had 45 receiving yards and a touchdown. That was good for 255 all-purpose yards, two touchdowns, and he very well may be a guy who's going to be instrumental in your playoff run. Marshawn Lynch reported to potentially have sports hernia, something he could need surgery on, something that would end his season. And like we've seen out of Sharkhandrick West, how we've seen out of D'Angelo Williams, you know, how we've seen out of Thomas Rawls, how we've seen out of these backup running backs who are able to come in and produce at a higher level than a starter. It just baffles my mind. I mean, these guys come in off the bench, and, I mean, you might as well make them a starter. I mean, Jeremy Langford out in Chicago, you know, he's got Forte looking over his shoulder. I mean, it's just unbelievable the way that these backups come in. And, I mean, you got to pick these guys up. Rawls, without question, is going to be the top waiver wire pickup this upcoming week. Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, again, just good to see Doug doing his thing. You know, a lot of owners over on the Facebook page certainly liked for him to have a bounce-back year, and I think he's been able to put it all together. You know, 2 years of dealing with injuries. He's in a contract year. He certainly knows that his job is on the line, and, you know, he's getting a full workload. That also helps. They're staying competitive in football games, which is allowing him to do that. And he just went off yesterday. He just totally went off on the Philadelphia Eagles, who were obviously a step slow and a step too late. And had 170 yards in the first half, just continued to churn it out in the second half. And what a huge day. I know that fantasy owners had to be elated about that. Certainly probably gave a lot of owners an unexpected edge. I mean, he's always a candidate for 100 all-purpose yards because he's so instrumental in that offense. But 235 yards on the ground. Wow, that is unbelievable. Spencer Ware of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, again, I mean, I feel like I could get in there for Kansas City. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, the way the guys can just come into that system and eat. I mean, and I think it's something that, you know, it's really – this is the reason why the running back position has gone out the drain in the draft. This is why teams don't draft running backs in the first round anymore, because they feel like they can just grab any guy and stick him in there. And, I mean, there's obviously some truth to that. When this guy can come in the third – in the middle of the third quarter, and this guy can pick up 96 yards and two TDs, make the top five in the fantasy running back position, and he's another guy. I don't know how serious that hamstring injury is for Sharkhandrick West, but here's another guy who, like Thomas Rawls, is certainly going to draw a lot of attention off the waiver wire, along with Buck Allen. We'll talk about him in a minute, but nice game by Ware, and he looks good. I mean, maybe that's, you know, only if Kansas City's wide receivers could look as good as their running backs, they may be a team who find themselves in the Super Bowl. Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, I mean, let's take it back to 2005 on you. You know, I mean, he certainly was productive last year working out of the backfield for Andrew Luck before getting injured for the season. But it just seems like, you know, it's been so long. I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw. Yes, Ahmad Bradshaw, ladies and gentlemen, still in the NFL. And he's still obviously able to produce. You know, Matt Hasselbeck, and I guess Bradshaw's a guy you got to take a peek at. You know, Hasselbeck doesn't have a strong arm. That'll be evidence when we get to our wide receivers, the lack of production we've seen from T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. But Hasselbeck is a guy who's going to look to check it down a lot. He's going to look to dump it down a lot. And, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw, beneficiary of that, only 50-something odd all-purpose yards, a couple short TD passes out of the backfield. And that was a trend that was heavily in rotation last year for Ahmad Bradshaw and gave him a lot of value. And I'm going to tell you right now, the name does not hold much weight. I can tell you as I'm speaking to you, I feel like I'm talking about a has-been. But in deeper leagues, this is fantasy football. I think with the way we've seen backup running backs perform, you know, he is the cuff to Frank Gore right now. I think it'll be in your best interest to get him. You know, I'm not telling you to play him. I can't guarantee you what he'll do. But based on the trend, based on the pattern, Yeah, he's a guy. He's got some value at the running back position. There's no doubt about it. Coming in next, you have John Stewart. And I really, again, I'm just so happy that Jonathan Stewart has been able to be healthy. I mean, his whole career, he's been injured every year. I mean, he starts the season on the IL. He's a guy who gets hurt the first day of practice, as soon as he walks out the locker room. And he's been able to stay healthy this year. And that was really our only concern, you know. I mean, he was definitely one of the top mid-level running backs. And it's just great to see him healthy. He's getting a full workload out in Carolina, 20-plus. I mean, this is like the fourth straight game. I mean, he's getting those 20-plus carries every single week. You know, was able to put up 102 on the ground, had a nice 12-yard receiving touchdown out of the backfield. And, you know, Jonathan Stewart, a pleasant surprise, giving you excellent value, picking him up in the middle rounds. Jeremy Hill, and let's not get it confused. If it weren't for two goal line touchdowns, it would be another wasted day at the offense. I don't think anybody played him. The matchup certainly didn't spell success for him. I'm quite sure a handful of people threw him in there, especially right now with DFS going on. You know, it's all about just rolling the dice. You know, I mean, everybody claims, and I'm not going to discredit anybody. Oh, you know, it's all these strategies and this, that, and the other that goes into it. A lot of it is luck. Let's be honest. I mean, just picking somebody that you don't expect. There's no limit to it. You know, guys probably are playing about, you know, for those guys who you know, have some money at their disposal. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you play DraftKings or FanDuel and, you know, you play 12 different games a week and you mix your lineups up and you go with some unsuspected guys, yeah, that's what's going to happen. So I'm not buying Jeremy Hill at all. I actually got rid of him last week in a trade. Thank God what a headache he was trying to figure out when he was going to perform. You know, and look, for Jeremy Hill, I wouldn't have a problem if this was the scenario weekly. You know, once it got to the point where we've seen that, we'll be talking about Gio Bernard here in just a second. But Giovanni Bernard, he's just a better running back. Let's not try to dance with it. He's better. He's way better. And if Bernard was getting the full workload like he was last year coming into the draft, he'd be a top 10 fantasy running back. There's no question about it. But my point being is once we accepted the fact that Jeremy Hill was going to be in there about 35% of the time, and the best case scenario was for the Bengals to get ahead in games to where he could pick up yardage late, or games that you've seen that the Bengals would have an opportunity to kind of stay in the red zone and he could take advantage of some touches inside the 20 and particularly inside the 10-yard line and goal line. And in games at Pittsburgh, in games last week at home against Houston, the week before at home against Cleveland, those scenarios are just not taking place. And so what you're seeing yesterday is what you want. You know, Jeremy Hill being able to come in and get you 12 out of his 16 points on a couple one-yard plunges. But again, that scenario has just not worked out consistently enough over the course of the season for you to feel confident about putting him in your lineup. So he's a guy I'm still very skeptical on, and you are rolling the dice putting him in, banking on those goal line opportunities. I mean, he's a guy who's been getting it. You know, even at the 10-yard line, they run him once. He gets 2 yards. They bring him out. They pass the other two down. So, I mean, it's all literally, he's got to get the ball at the 1 yard line to be able to punch it in. Darren McFadden, Dallas Cowboys, continues to be a top 10 start weekly, point blank. You know, I don't like his prospect this week at home against Carolina. Brutal defense there, especially when you got Thomas Davis and Luke Kelce running all over the place. But, you know, I think goal line work, you know, is going to be the best bet for him this week. You know, he's getting a full workload, but I don't like it. But this week he was excellent. You know, 129 rushing yards on 27 carries, giving Dallas the balance they need. And I don't think any of us question it. You know, we kind of knew he was one of the top handcuffs coming in this year behind Joseph Randall. They've got that massive offensive line, and they're going to move people out the way, and especially with Tony Romo there, you're going to push the defense back just a little bit. And so nice game by Darren McFadden. Happy he was able to shake off a groin injury. Caught a groin injury last Wednesday, was limited in practice Thursday. You know, it was kind of questionable coming into the matchup, but by the time a couple hours before game time came, he was good to go. And he's been producing. This was his fourth out of his last 5 games where he's given owners double digits. Again, great value for a guy you picked up as a handcuff or in later rounds. Let's see here, Patrick DeMarco. And let's go ahead and take a picture. This will be the only time we see him this year. fullback from Atlanta, basically caught a couple goal line, short yardage touchdowns in the red zone. You probably can't even find him on the waiver wire, so we're not going to go much into that. Alfred Blue, again, don't get fooled. 92 all-purpose yards, so still struggling mightily on the ground. Had about 56 yards on the ground. Was able to sneak out the back door on a trick play and score a touchdown. It was thrown from Cecil Shorts to third. So Alfred Blue still continues to struggle on the ground. They cannot run a football. And then Giovanni Bernard, again, look, 146 all-purpose yards, 8 catches for 128 yards. This guy, when he gets the ball in his hands, he is explosive. He gets downhill quickly. He's elusive. And I repeat, I think the Bengals are just better off. Just feature Bernard. Just save Hill for goal line carries only. Let Gio get the full work in and give owners what they really need in their lineup, because, you know, those two touchdowns could have been on top of his buck 48 all-purpose. But he's a beast. I love Giovanni Bernard. He's certainly doing his thing. Let's now flip over to your duds. Justin Forsett, he's done for the year. You know, he came into this week very quietly. You know, he's a guy I talked to owners about over the weekend. I said, you know, as much as it seems like he has been a disappointment, maybe because he only has one 100-yard rushing game all year, I think the lack of touchdowns is what really turned owners off. But he had been averaging in standard format 13 points per game. Like, seriously, like, head on. Like, he really had been averaging 13 points per contest. And fortunately for him, in a tough matchup against the Rams, end up breaking his arm. He's done for the year. So along with Thomas Rawls, along with Spencer Ware, now you're taking a look at Buck Allen being the guy. His real name is Javarius Allen for the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be a top waiver wire pickup as well with Forsett going for the year. Chris Ivory, pathetic. They're struggling. You know, I mean, the Jets, I don't know what the issue is, but they're having trouble running the football. You think about yesterday, it was on, 8 carries for 36 yards, pathetic. You think back to a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville, 23 carries for 26 yards. You had 2 goal line TDs to give them 16. Think back about the game against the Raiders. It came out of there, I mean, with about 20 yards. I mean, his value is certainly on the plummet. And I understand the Houston Texans run defense is tough, but – and these teams, you got to mix it up a little more. And you can't come out every week. I mean, you're playing J.J. Watt, for crying out loud. You know the guy controls the line of scrimmage. Run some draws. Run some counters. You know, run some sweeps. You know, switch it up. What are you running between the tackles for against J.J. Watt? Devonta Freeman, he was off to a fast start yesterday. Had 49 yards in the first quarter, but suffered a concussion. And I got caught up in a wash, as a matter of fact. In the league that I'm tied for first place in, I had my most horrible output of the year. If I told you coming in this week that I was putting on the field Derek Carr at Detroit, Devonta Freeman at home against Indy, you know, Chris Ivory at Houston, Allen Hurns at home against Tennessee, my goodness, who's my other wide receiver? So you have to excuse me, Antonio Bryant was on bye. Dez Bryant at Miami, Travis Kelce at San Diego. Gosh, who did I stick in my flex this week? Ronnie Hillman. Now, he was productive yesterday at Chicago. Phillies D, you know, at home. I mean, they have been doing nothing, if nothing else, finding their way into some turnovers. And the kicker for Denver, McManus, man, I'm sitting on 56 points. I mean, these guys just did not perform. And Devonta Freeman was key because, like I said, he went out of that game early with a concussion. And I'm quite sure for a lot of fantasy owners, their day went down the drain as well. You figure the potential production, if nothing else, you know he's a guy who's going to get you 10 due to 100 all-purpose yards. And we'll be closely monitoring his status. Yeah, if he's not already on somebody's bench, Tevin Coleman for the Falcons. He'll become a popular waiver wire pickup this week. James Starkson, who I don't know. You know, he was supposed to be the starter. And then, you know, him and Lacey weren't going to split carries. And then Starks was going to start one series, and then Lacey the other. Who knows what the hell is going on out there in Green Bay? Eddie Lacey finally had a good game, so Starks was reduced to pretty much nothing, 4 yards. And I don't know. Maybe Lacey gets it going now. Starks will still get some time, but not a guy that you can depend on or feel as strongly about depending on as you were coming into this week. Sharkhandrick West left out of the game with a hamstring injury. Only 5 points for him. Thankfully, I played against him, so I'm happy. Not about the injury. I'm just happy there were some goal line opportunities that he certainly missed out on, that I really needed him to miss out on. But he continues to do well. Again, I don't want people to get carried away with his 5 points. Had a nice 40-yard reception, was held to 11 carries on 16 yards. But again, the multitude of goal line carries, you figure if he was not out with that hamstring injury, he would have had those touchdowns that Spencer Ware had, or at least one of them. Both of those ones were inside the 5-yard line. So let's hope he gets healthy and back quick for owners. Lamar Miller, it just comes with the territory. It was time to slow down. Miller had been averaging 20 points per game over his last, kind of like, the Dallas Cowboys run defense is kind of slept on. The Cowboys defense in particular, Sean Lee was back in the lineup. We know Rolando McClain, he's talented. Greg Hardy's up there in the trenches, Mincy. They've got some ball players in Dallas, and just not a good day for Miller. Again, it's the nature of the business. You go 5 straight games where you're averaging 20 points. At some point, you're going to cool off. Frank Gore, I think he's the biggest disappointment coming out of this week. When you're thinking about Matt Hasselbeck in that quarterback, you're figuring that Indianapolis is going to lean on a run. But I think what you really come to learn and know is that for teams that are not built to run the football, you can't just turn it on like a light switch. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. And Frank Gore, as much as, the matchup was there at Atlanta, Hasselbeck's in that quarterback, they're going to feed Frank Gore. Well, the offensive line, they can't run block. So Gore did have 75 or so all-purpose yards, but fumbled, and that's what hurt his value. He's still a guy that you got to start weekly due to the work, but I think now you're looking at Ahmad Bradshaw kind of chewing into that work in the red zone if Gore unable to perform. C.J. Anderson, once again, outplayed by Ronnie Hillman. You do like that he was involved, as I mentioned earlier in the week with Brock Osweiler in there. You figured that the Broncos were going to be more balanced, which is what they need to be with Peyton Manning in there. But, of course, he wants to line up his shotgun and pass all day. Needless to say that C.J. Anderson, a solid day, 6 points considering he's a backup, but certainly not the numbers you expect. And, you can't afford to have that in your lineup. DeMarco Murray and his heart, his effort's been questioned. Things just not working out for him in Philly this year. I spoke about him on Facebook earlier this week. We talked about it. The Bucs' run defense is tough. It's their secondary. If anything, it's going to be the liability when you play them. And 80-plus all-purpose yards, but the fumble dropped them to 6. A guy who's really cooling off is Chris Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 out of his last 5 games in single digits, only found 6 yesterday. And I had already had an issue with him because as well as he had been playing, like some other running backs I've named on this list, just not able to get in the end zone. Darren McFadden, same thing, productive, but you got to get in that end zone. That's what's really going to bust that cherry open. And CJ 1K, not able to do it. Again, 4 out of his last 5 in single digits, Ellington getting more involved, Carson Palmer airing it out. He's certainly a reason for concern. And then T.J. Yeldon, you'll take the 7 points, but again, a guy who, just not able to be solid enough to be in your lineup weekly. I mean, you have to play. He's going to get the 15 to 18 carries religiously, but just not finding that end zone. And that was kind of shocking considering they had some goal line opportunities, and it was Denard Robinson that we've seen in the game as opposed to T.J. Yeldon. All right, look, we're going to run to another quick break. Don't forget, we are about minutes away from Monday Night Football. Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, you're listening to The Extra Points, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. We'll be right back to talk wide receivers. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to link up with us on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Close to 2,000 fantasy football owners. I'm telling you, you'll absolutely love it. And then make sure to check out the website. That's www.NFLExporter.com. We update that website every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 out on the West Coast. Once we flip that website, we have content on there to get you prepared for the Thursday edition of Extra Points. Between the website, between Extra Points, and then getting with us on social media, we're able to carry you straight through to kickoff up until on Sunday. And don't forget, look, the website, it's podcast style for your listening convenience. It's mobile friendly, right, for your Android devices, for your listening enjoyment. So very simple. Just go to the website, hit play. How easy is that, right? When you're in the gym, multitasking, at work, relaxing, whatever you're doing, just make sure before kickoff on Sunday, you listen to the Extra Points, you visit the NFL Exporter website. Your top 10 wide receivers for week 11, DeAndre Hopkins, again, just doing a great job this year. One of my favorite players to watch. He makes a one-handed catch with his left hand. Looks so easy. This guy's got some huge mitts, and he's a big-time player. You got to give this guy his credit. That's really what allowed for Houston to no longer need Andre Johnson's services. He's had no problem at all transitioning over to the number one wide receiver in those 9 TD receptions. He's going to be high up in the double digits. He's going to be right there at the end with Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, and the thing that's really starting to set him apart from Julio Jones right now is those touchdowns. J.J. Nelson came out of nowhere and had 20 points. He's going to be worth the look. You know, Arizona has so many weapons. I don't can rely on him, but especially in deeper leagues, he is worth a look. I never even heard of this kid. And so with Michael Floyd being out, I think that's how he got on the field. When Floyd comes back, you would have to assume Michael Floyd is going to be back out there. We don't know. Again, Carson Palmer is just a guy who he'll find anybody who's open. So J.J. Nelson, probably another time we want to take a picture. Not sure, at least if this season, we'll see him in the top 5 at wide receiver. James Jones had been cold for a long time, but found his rhythm. And I think the key was they have been playing Green Bay a lot of defenses where immense pressure up front. And the cornerbacks were much faster. We know that Jones is a veteran. He's not going to beat you with his speed. And the Vikings cornerbacks are not that fast. So Jones, with his acute route running, certainly able to get open, find some open places. Aaron Rodgers able to find him twice. So good to see him back on a good foot. I was just speaking about last week how how earlier in the season, when the season first started, he was hot. He was hot. He was Aaron Rodgers' main guy and just really got cold, but good to see him back in the mix. I'm pretty sure that'll get him and Rodgers' rapport back going. Julio Jones, another 9 catches, another 160 yards, another day at the office. Unfortunately for him, not able to find the end zone. Unfortunately for him, another loss. And so Julio Jones, every week, he's going to continue to be one of the best fantasy receivers. You look at how many targets he's getting, him and DeAndre Hopkins, along with Antonio Brown. I mean, week in and week out, these guys are getting a minimum of 10 targets. We've seen sometimes up to 25 targets in a game for these guys. And so when you are talented, plus the ball is getting thrown your way that much, you're going to produce. We all know that Julio Jones is a stud. Tyler Lockett, again, deeper leagues. And actually, nice play. I think I'm in a better mood to be able to say that because I'm in position to get a win tonight. I am losing by 6 points, but I have Blunt going. I have Shady McCoy going. I'm going against James White. So hopefully he can take another week off. But my opponent played Tyler Lockett, and when I seen him in my lineup, I laughed. And then when I looked up and seen him score a touchdown, I'm like, really? And then I see him score a touchdown, and I said, come on. And so a nice play by my opponent. But he's a guy, again, deeper leagues. I'm not going to tell you to bank on him, but he has been getting more involved lately. If you recall, he caught a touchdown against San Francisco within the last month. And maybe that's the matchup. You know, maybe it's something about San Francisco that Seattle sees where he's got 3 touchdowns against the 49ers this year. Again, I'm not going to bank on it, but a nice game. He's another talented rookie making it happen this year. DeSean Jackson, 14 points. And, again, man, this guy's blurring speed. I mean, his touchdown yesterday made 47 yards, whatever it was. It just was a familiar picture. We've seen Cousins drop back deep, and you already know. If you see Cousins throwing it deep, you know who he's going to. And by the time the ball got into the same camera view as DeSean Jackson, you see Jackson with about 5 steps, 10 yards on this poor defender who was matched up one-on-one on that route. And, connects. And so, nice game by DeSean. for fantasy owners who had him in. 87 yards in the TD. Good to see him getting more and more involved. And, I mean, that's who he is. We know DeSean Jackson. If nothing else, he's going to beat you deep. There's nothing you could do about that. Terrence Williams, I talked about that earlier in the week. Certainly seen his value go back up. We're shouting out Sherry Cook on that one over in the Guts and Glory NFL Exporter Facebook Money League. She snapped him up off the waiver wire in the flex. What an excellent play that was. And, again, with Tony Romo in there, he's got value. He was one of the better later-round picks, along with Martavius Bryant, that you wanted to get in the latter rounds. You know that with Romo in there, if Dez Bryant isn't eating, then Terrence Williams is a strong candidate. Obviously, Cole Beasley and Jason Witten always in the mix. But if you're talking about outside receivers, when Romo wants to go deep, Terrence Williams is a guy who's certainly been very productive. So nice game by him, 79 yards in the TD. Mike Evans, very slow start. He's fully informed now. 63 yards, caught one of those five touchdown passes from Jameis Winston, and he's getting the targets. He's getting the looks. The trust is there. The rapport is there. He's going to continue to be productive. Another rookie getting it done. How about Devin Funchess, the Carolina Panthers? He's a guy I grabbed about 2 weeks ago. When you've seen him starting to turn the corner, certainly advise owners to get him. I was tempted to play him yesterday, a little too reluctant to do so. But 4 yards and a touchdown. The thing that I like about Funchess, he catches a lot of balls, huge yards. He's a guy who picks up yards in chunks. So please excuse my words being a little mixed up there. But in each game that he's played in, he's had a catch 44 yards, 27 yards. Yesterday, 35 yards on one of his catches. So when Philly Brown comes back, not sure who's going to be the starter, but I think Funchess is certainly earning more playing time, and he's a guy who, if Philly Brown misses this week at Dallas, I certainly like for him to be in your fantasy lineups. We had quite a few guys tied at 11 this week. Vincent Jackson came back just in time to catch one of those TD passes from Jameis Winston out of Philadelphia. He's worth a look. There's no question. They were certainly missing him. I think he'll be a nice play for you in your flex. Demaryius Thomas found the end zone. Cecil Shorts, he's on the list because he threw a touchdown. Kamar Aiken finally was able to get in the end zone. Kenny Stills, another guy who you don't want him on your team. That was just random as it can be. A guy who you do want on your team, a guy who is performing very well, and we're talking about Allen Robinson, wide receiver of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're really going to take a look at him this upcoming week on NFLExporter.com because he is doing an absolutely excellent job. The athleticism this kid has, it's right up there with the likes of Julio Jones and Dez Bryant. I mean, just simply leaping over two defenders, snatching the football out of the air. He's a great asset to that Jaguars team. On the flip side of the coin, and when you score a touchdown in 7 straight games and you're battling through numerous injuries and you're playing on a short week, we'll certainly give Allen Hurns the benefit of the doubt. Threw up a dud. It hurt myself and a lot of owners, but, I mean, against Tennessee, you can't find a better matchup. He'll definitely bounce back. A guy who is real close to being on the waiver wire, and I actually picked him up off the waiver wire, came in handy for me a couple weeks ago at Dallas, but Jordan Matthews, and I mean, it's just a struggle. I don't get it. He's the most talented and the only receiver really worthwhile that they have in Philadelphia, and he works out the slot, and he's just not getting it done. Another game, 4 catches, 19 yards, absolutely pathetic. Rashard Matthews of the Dolphins, he's calmed down a lot. Him and Jarvis Landry, he's a little bit latter down on this list with 6. And, man, Ryan Tannehill, inconsistent. Matthews has had some good games, but he's a guy right now who you're not playing with confidence. T.Y. Hilton, again, the Matt Hasselbeck effect, it's not there. The type of routes that Hilton runs, a lot of times, you know, Hasselbeck doesn't have the arm strength to get it out there, and he's certainly not able to move around like Andrew Luck to find Hilton once coverage breaks down. So he's a guy whose value has really been hurt this year by injuries to himself and the Luck. Jeremy Maclin, and, you know, the 2 points a bit deceiving. He had a couple touchdown opportunities. Once he was tackled right at the goal line. The other time he was tackled maybe at the 3-yard line. So there were some opportunities there. But in particular, the thing that's really hurting him, and I'm going to talk about that this week as well on NFLExporter.com, definitely over on the Facebook page and Twitter. He doesn't get enough targets. It's not enough. You've got to get at least 10 targets to be productive. And then they don't utilize him right. You know, this is a guy who's certainly being limited by the system. I mean, goodness, he's got 4.3 speed, if nothing else, once a quarter. They should be looking to go bomb, but they're Kansas City's completely satisfied with these 2-yard routes and dinking and dumping and quick slants and shallow crosses, and it's a whole bunch of stuff that just doesn't allow for him to really do his thing. Davante Adams, I think Aaron Rodgers lost confidence in him last week, especially dropping that ball to tie that game at 2-point conversion. You don't hear that stuff come out in the media. You know, but Aaron Rodgers was not looking for Davante Adams this week, and I think it's no coincidence. The 21 targets last week, I think Adams only able to bring in 8 balls to drop for the 2-point conversion. You know, Aaron Rodgers certainly wasn't looking his way. Dante Moncrief, another guy, limited. Matt Hasselbeck, all the turnover at quarterback. You can't trust him weekly. Not quite sure. Michael Crabtree, again, just kind of handcuffed to a bad situation. And again, thankfully, I played Crabtree yesterday. I was more than happy to see those 50 yards up for him. Derek Carr, just not able to get the job done yesterday in Detroit. I think now we got to start looking at the Raiders, because now back-to-back weeks, Crabtree, Amari Cooper, not putting up the numbers that we've seen against the Jets and against the Steelers. Stephon Diggs, you know, I can appreciate his 66 yards. Minnesota, another team, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't want to pass a lot. You know, got forced into it. Diggs made the most of what he could do, still led the team in receiving yards. And, you know, it's based on matchup. It's definitely based on matchup with him. But you'll take 66 solid yards in your lineup. I'll make an exception for Diggs, because the style of ball that they play is really not conducive to his skill set. And then Marvin Jones, you know, for Cincinnati, we're seeing him kind of take it back now, just not able to get it done, only one double-digit game in his last 4. We know he's the other top target besides A.J. Green, but, you know, Dalton has, you know, he likes to hit off Eifert. Mohamed Sanu is involved a little more now than he was when the season started. And then Gio Bernard is such a great asset out of the backfield. So, and at one point it was looking like Marvin Jones was a solid number 2. Right now he's down to a definite kind of mid-level number 3 flex play at best. All right, look, we'll be right back. We're going to come back and talk tight ends. We still got defense, special teams, and kickers. Kickoff has started, and so when we come back, we'll be keeping an eye on that Bills-Patriots game. You're listening to the Extra Points with the NFL Exporter. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to Dave and Buster's, and we are live here. And, man, make sure you come out and join us, 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California, 90045. That's the zip code. We're here at Westchester, and we're underway right now. We're looking at the game here, 3rd and 7 coming up for New England, about 10 minutes, or I should say 11 minutes left in the first quarter, 0-0 score. Let's hop back into the show. Let's take it over to your top 10 fantasy tight ends from week 11. Kyle Rudolph of the Minnesota Vikings, and he's been a huge disappointment this year. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater finding him early and often in the preseason, and most quarterbacks know how to lean on their tight end as a safety valve, as a safety net, you know, kind of as that security blanket underneath. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's not what Kyle Rudolph has been able to be. And he's been a guy who just plain and simple, you know, just unable to get the job done. But he was able to come up with a 47-yard TD to help him on his way to 16 points. And, you know, unfortunately, just not able to get it done consistently. I don't think anybody had them in their lineups unless you were desperate, rolling the dice, maybe a family member. But I don't think anybody was able to take care of that. Tyler Eifert of the Cincinnati Bengals, strong game again. You know, 80 yards and a touchdown, and he continues to play well. That was his 10th receiving touchdown of the year, leading all tight ends. And, again, he's a guy who is heavily involved and is going to continually be involved in that Cincinnati Bengals offense, especially in the red zone. You got Delanie Walker. Excuse me. You got Vance McDonald coming in. And excuse me for pausing. A key play just happened in that New England game. Tom Brady just threw an interception, but offsetting penalties is going to allow New England to get it over. And I tell you, well, these are the type of things that teams like the Bills, you know, I mean, you get an opportunity like that, a turnover on Tom Brady, and you can't take advantage because of a penalty. I mean, these teams who hover around 500, you know, they continue to just make mistakes. Vance McDonald, he's coming in third with 12 points. And, again, a guy that, look, don't expect to hear his name on this list a whole lot. You know, I think you take a look at Vance McDonald, and he's just a guy in there with Blaine Gabbert who is just taking advantage of Blaine Gabbert and his inability to throw the football down the field. Greg Olsen, we know he's a guy who's a must-start weekly. Another touchdown for him, just continues to be steady as they come doing his thing for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Coming in next, you had quite a few guys at number 10. Delanie Walker, you have to love what he's doing in Tennessee. Really the only guy who's been consistent for them all year long. Crockett Gilmore for the Ravens, and, you know, he's a guy who certainly, you know, you can't trust weekly. But I think now, especially with Joe Flacco with Joe Flacco being out for the rest of the year, you know, maybe he's a guy whose value increases a little bit as a quarterback. I don't even know who the backup is in Baltimore, but quite sure they'll be looking to get it out quickly and do a lot of short passing. The same thing, Cameron Brake. Don't expect to see this guy on here again. You know, just happened to pop in for a week. He's the other tight end for Tampa Bay behind Austin Seferian Jenkins. And then you had Lance Kendricks, and, you know, Case Keenum was in there at quarterback. So, you know, of course he's throwing to the backup tight end. And, you know, whoever's in there for St. Louis, you don't trust any of them. I mean, again, I just don't get it. You know, Kenny Britt and Brian Quick, they're a joke for the St. Louis Rams. They just don't show up weekly. Ridiculous. Julius Thomas, good to see him in the fold. 8 points, not a lot of yards, only 20, but was able to bring in a short yardage touchdown on Thursday Night Football against Tennessee. And I think more than anything, I would love to see that happen. And so, you know, if nothing else, you know, Julius Thomas, you know, he's a guy that you would think, if nothing else, is going to really be able to excel in the red zone. You know, that's where he's looking at helping out a lot. Blake Bortles with Robinson and Hurns on the outside, you know, taking advantage of Julius Thomas in the red zone. So we heard, hope that trend continues. And then Jordan Cameron, same thing, too inconsistent, having to pop in for a week on you for the Miami Dolphins. Looking at your disappointment, and Antonio Gates, you know, where was he at yesterday? Phillip Rivers only had 5, and we've seen him arguing on the sideline. And, you know, it's just a man. If nothing else, you don't expect that from Antonio Gates to come up with nothing. I mean, that had to be a huge blow to fantasy owners in their lineup. Richard Rodgers. And, you know, nothing. I mean, he's a guy who's literally been hit or miss and missed most of the time. He's popping in for maybe, you know, a couple points once every other week. Zach Ertz left out with an injury. Brent Celek, he'll be one of the top waiver wire pickups at tight end. Mark Sanchez targeted him a little more. Jacob Tammy, inconsistent, you know, only 1 point. Jordan Reed, we advised you to sit him last week. Brutal matchup last week against Carolina. Certainly didn't stand a chance there. Then Martellus Bennett has been a big time disappointment for sure. I mean, you thinking about Chicago and that matchup yesterday against Denver, and I understand Denver's defense is tough, one of the top secondaries in the league, but at the same time, you got to find ways to take advantage of matchups. You got to find ways to take advantage of what you have, and just 2 yards is unacceptable. I mean, excuse me, 2 points is unacceptable. Jason Witten, I'm a little shocked there, too. But Romo back in that quarterback, only 2 points for him. But, you know, it is what it is. Jimmy Graham, I think he's the hugest disappointment this year. How can you not get him involved? You know, I mean, what'd you trade for him for? 3 points for him. Travis Kelce, as I mentioned to you, did drop a touchdown. So he had a chance, but only 4 points for him. man, you're certainly are looking for him to step it up. He's been quiet. You know, this Chiefs offense the last couple weeks, again, with Alex Smith and this Andy Reid West Coast offense, you're certainly taking a huge gamble when you're taking a look at that. And let's move over now real quick to defense special teams. And I know everybody's wanting to get to the game, so we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up. Let's just go through real quickly. Your defense special teams, Carolina continues to dominate matchups, especially the matchups where it's obvious. And so they just stifled Washington yesterday as expected, led all defenses with 19 points. Kansas City Chiefs as well, and I'm telling you, they're a defense that's just trending. Right now, look, when you're looking at it again, the keys for them, Eric Berry, healthy, back comfortable at safety. Don Terry Poe, he's back out there at defensive tackle, and he's being effective for them, stuffing up that middle. And then you got Tamba Ali back into the fold, doing a great job bringing the heat opposite of Justin Houston. And so the Chiefs defense playing much better. And, man, I tell you, I like a lot what I'm seeing out of Kansas City. They scored 19 points as well. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you think about Lovie Smith, the defensive genius that he is, taking advantage of backup quarterbacks the last couple weeks. You know, I mean, you think about what he was able to do last week with Brandon Wheaton in Dallas. Comes back this week with Mark Sanchez and 17 big points, an interception return by Lavonte David. Tampa Bay certainly trending upwards. The Baltimore Ravens defense, and, you know, when you got an offense that's, again, as pedestrian, I mean, Case Keenum and, I don't know, Brian Quick and Kenny Britt, it's a joke. So the Ravens were able to cash in for 16 points there. Dallas Cowboys, really like what their defense is doing. Got an interception return from Rolando McClain. I've actually been using the Cowboys in my Yahoo League for a couple weeks. Again, their defense has really played well this year, not to be slept on. Indianapolis got that pick six from DeQuell Jackson to help their cause out as well. Green Bay Packers, they gave they slammed the door shut early on Adrian Peterson, and that's what you got to do with Minnesota. I mean, you know, they're proven, their passing game is not proven. You got to stop AP, put it in Bridgewater's hands, and you can pin your ears back and get after him. Six sacks. Really played well. Green Bay's defense, who had showed up in weeks, finally answered the call. And then you got Atlanta and Houston, 10 points apiece, and particularly Houston's defense playing extremely well. J.J. Wyatt back in Pro Bowl form. They're just getting it done. They're a motivated group, and they're really causing teams a lot of trouble. Also solid this week, we'll throw in Jacksonville, Tennessee, Detroit. Those defenses all, Tennessee and Detroit with 8, Jacksonville with 9, all matchup based. You wouldn't expect that from Detroit, but again, their owner came out and threatened that whole franchise that she'll put everybody out on the street if they don't perform. So that they heard that call, and they're playing much better. Defenses that are disappointing. How about Minnesota yesterday, 1 point? I mean, I understand Aaron Rodgers, but you got to get a little more than that. New York Jets, 2 points, unacceptable. I mean, again, you're playing T.J. Yates, you know, a backup in Alfred Blue. They only got DeAndre Hopkins. That's the best you can come up with. Ridiculous. Seattle was a huge disappointment today. Blaine Gabbert and company, you expect more turnovers, more points than that. You know, that's only 5 points for them. And then Philadelphia Eagles getting embarrassed at home, -6. Unfortunately, I had them. Again, they were a team who, if nothing else, had been able to manufacture some sacks and some turnovers, and they just flat out didn't get it done. We'll quickly run down your top 10 kickers. We're talking about Mason Crosby, again, playing against Minnesota. 22 points, that's huge on the back end of your lineup. I tell you, two guys who are really steady, I mean, a guy who's really steady right now is Graham Gano. I love Graham Gano for the Carolina Panthers. He is getting it done. The style of ball that Carolina's playing, real similar to what you've seen out of Seattle over the years, and it puts him in line to be a field goal kicking machine. That's exactly what he is. Jason Myers for Jacksonville, 13 points. I think he's a guy now, when you look at Jacksonville being a team who can move the ball through the air, he's certainly garnering some attention. Matt Prater, it's real late in the season, but was able to come through for 13 points at home against the Oakland Raiders. We had three guys tied with 10. Chandler Carnazano, you have to love the prospects with him. The only thing is Arizona scores at touchdowns at such a high ratio, hard to play him. Robbie Gould with 10 points for Chicago. Sebastian Janikowski, 10 points at Detroit as well. And then some guys rounding out it with 9 points, Justin Tucker, Connor Barth, and Cairo Santos. He's a guy as well who you certainly should be high up on your list for kicking field goals. Don't sleep on Connor Barth as well. He's been playing extremely well this week. Tampa Bay at Indianapolis, a team, Tampa Bay, who usually doesn't score that many red zone touchdowns. So could you imagine yesterday, maybe if Jameis Winston doesn't throw five TD passes, maybe three, you're figuring that's two more easy field goals for Connor Barth to tack on. Some guys who were some huge disappointments, Greg Zuerlein, Blair Walsh with one. You're talking about Matt Bryant at home, only 1 point against, 2 points against the Colts. Brandon McManus, I mean, you would think that this would be a guy who would really be taking advantage of opportunities in Denver, and he's cooled off tremendously. Steven Hauschka, very disappointing 5 points yesterday, missed an extra point, then had another one blocked. And then Josh Lambeau, obviously, he didn't have any opportunities yesterday as the Chargers just couldn't do anything against the Chiefs. Look, everybody, right now we've got a 3-0 score. The New England Patriots were able to strike first blood. We've got about 7 minutes left in the first quarter. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me here on Extra Points. This upcoming Thursday is Thanksgiving. I'm going to wish everybody a happy holiday. We will not be doing a show this upcoming Thursday. So you just simply want to go to the website on Wednesday and then get with us on social media, in particular that Facebook page. You know, on Twitter, it's just a lot of short little memos. But on Facebook, that's where we can get in depth. I can really answer your questions. I can really give you the feedback that you need. And so make sure to join us on the Facebook page. But again, we will not be doing a show this Thursday for the holiday, Thanksgiving. We'll let everybody enjoy the holiday with family and friends. We'll be back on Monday, but definitely make it a point to keep up with us on NFLExporter.com, on Facebook, on Twitter. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for the show today. And make sure that you join us. We're going to be back Monday. But again, hit the website, hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter. I'll be looking forward to speaking to everyone. I'd like to wish everybody good luck tonight. If you need extra points to win it, then I certainly hope that you can get it done. If you're in a position like me in another league where I'm trying to save these guys off, let's hope that the extra points that your opponent does not get the extra points to knock you off this week. All right, that's going to do it, everybody. I'm the NFL Exporter, Lance Goodman. Once again, we're live here at Dave & Buster's. We're looking forward to seeing everybody come down after work. Holiday week should be a lot of fun. I am out of here, everybody. Enjoy the football game. I am signing off 1100.